Well, in 1 John chapter number 1, 1 John chapter number 1, and we're going to read our text this morning, and I've got a number of things there written down for you to make sure you get it, and there's a few blanks along the way that you're going to fill in. 1 John chapter number 1, and I just determined in the next number of months, I don't know how long it's going to be, I'm going to challenge you to work on memorizing the book of 1 John. What? A whole book? You could do it if you work at it a little bit. And each week we're going to take a little section. Last week we did the first four verses. Today we're going to do the next six verses to finish chapter number 1. And you found your place there. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will, in respect to the Word of God as we read 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 5, down through verse number 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his truth is not in us. Father, I pray that you give us something today that will help us in our walk with you. Lord, we need more desperately than we realize to have a closer walk. The old songwriter had it right, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, I plead. Lord, I pray that you would work in each of our hearts today, that you would stir us to walk closer to you than we have been in the past. Closer tomorrow than we have today. And Lord, I pray that each day we just get a little closer to you until we one day make that final step in our journey of life into your dear presence, as we sang about earlier. We get there because of what you've done on Calvary, because of the life that you've given us through salvation in Christ. Bless now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a seat, if you will. We're talking about walking with God this morning. Adam and Eve, we read in the beginning of the Bible, once walked with God in the cool, in the evening of the day. They walked in fellowship, in perfect fellowship with God, a perfect man in a perfect world, walking with God. And God created man, of course, to fellowship with him. And yet, because of sin, man is now broken. Not only is man broken, but our world's broken. Man is in the process of dying. And our world is in the process of dying. That fellowship can only be restored through salvation in Jesus Christ. In fact, maybe the most important verses in all of 1 John are in chapter number 5. If you don't have anything else in this book memorized, you ought to memorize 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Says, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And thank God for that fellowship that we have through salvation. And we talk about walking with God today, though we really don't understand all that that means. And we won't understand completely what that means till we get to heaven, till we have our new body, until God creates a new heaven and a new earth. But what does it mean to walk with God today, in this present day? How can I walk with God? And sometimes we say, well, yeah, have a good walk with God. How's your walk with God? What does it mean to walk with God? I think we can see some things in our text here in 1 John chapter number 1. First of all, it means, number 1, walking in light. in verse number 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him, that and declare unto you that God is what? Light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the, what? Light. As he is in the light, we have that fellowship with God. Now, notice it says in verse number 5 that, and there's a lot of God is. In even in the book of 1 John, God is love, it tells us in 1 John. But in verse number 5, it says God is what? God is light. The Bible also tells us that God is holy, that God is life, that God is faithful, that God is a consuming fire, that God is just and holy and pure. But here it says God is light. Now, light in Scripture is the emblem of purity, the emblem of truth and knowledge and prosperity and happiness. Just as darkness is the picture of everything that is not good and wholesome and holy. I wrote a number of things down here because I knew you wouldn't have time to write them, and I want you to get them. I want you to take these home with you and study and take home your Bible and the notes that you get. And look at them and see what else God will show you when you give yourself to the Word of God. In John chapter number 1, Jesus said, the Bible says of Jesus Christ, in him was life. And the life was the, what? The light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In him, notice what it says, in him is no darkness at all. In him is no darkness at all, in verse number 5. He is, in other words, he is perfect light. In James chapter number 1 and verse number 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That word variableness, oftentimes we see that word and we think it's different shades of light, but really it's not talking about how that God is this color light one day and that color light of one day, but it's really in reference to in him consists the perfect light of every spectrum is in him. He is light. He is the source of all light. I preached on that recently. Letter B, and walking in the light, is that we need to remember that we live in a dark place. This world is a dark world. In Ephesians chapter number 6 reminds us that this world, is in darkness. You probably know the verse in Ephesians 6 and verse number 12, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our enemy, the God of this world, the prince of darkness. This world is consumed by the devil's darkness because of the fall of man. Not only are we depraved, but our world is depraved apart from God. And number two, under we live in a dark place, lost souls are blind to the light. I don't expect blind people to see the things of God. I don't expect lost people to understand the things of God. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath what? Blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, and they should be saved. The lost of this world are blind. Lost souls are blind. And what they need is someone to share the light of Christ that can open their eyes. And then thirdly, in this dark world that we live in, we need to understand this as God's people, that God's people can be blinded. Maybe the first place it talks about this, they chose that reference. There are many places we can turn in the Bible that show us that God's people can be blinded. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28, when God is speaking to the nation of Israel through Moses, that the end of Moses' life, in his farewell address, if you will, to the people of God, he says, "The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and shalt not prosper in thy ways." God's people can be blinded to the truth. In fact, God's own chosen people, the nation of Israel, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The nation of Israel, Jesus referred to them as blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what's going to happen? They both shall fall in the ditch. Now, it's easy to pretend that we know where we're going. Maybe we got a little, we've taken that step and, hey, follow me, I know where we're going, but then that next step's going to come because we don't see where we're going. It's easy to pretend that we're walking in the light, especially when we're dealing with those that are lost in darkness. But this world is a dark place. And what it means to walk with Jesus Christ, first and foremost, is to walk in his light. Now, the next two things that we're going to look at, and I just reading over this book over and over again and looking at different words and studying different commentaries with other preachers and what other Bible students have thought and found in this passage of Scripture, I just outline it in this form. What it means to walk with God, first of all, to walk in light. Secondly, to walk in fellowship with God. Verse number 6 through 7 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have" what? "Fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." Fellowship with God. Fellowship is living in the presence and in the blessing of God. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, desires for us to, through us, to bear fruit in Galatians 5 and verse 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the things that the Holy Spirit gives us when we're truly walking in fellowship with him. When we're walking arm in arm, Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit as the Comforter, the one that will come alongside of you, that will carry you when you fall. He'll guide you in all truth. And if we're truly walking in fellowship with him, we have the presence of God in our life, and we have the fruit of the Spirit developed in our life. Oftentimes you hear people say, "Well, I can forgive other people, but I can't forgive myself." There's nothing more foolish said by a child of God than that statement right there. If you understand what fellowship is and what it means to walk with God, you see, when we are at peace with God, when we're truly in fellowship with him, I put this on your paper there, I believe, we're at peace with God, and we're at peace with ourselves, and we're at peace with others. Everything falls in place, and the thing that's lacking is not how am I going to get over this hurdle and how am I going to forgive. No, what I need to do is walk in fellowship with God. And then I'll be at peace with him. And when I'm at peace with him, I can be at peace with myself, first and foremost. See myself for who I am, and then I can begin to see others and forgive others and love others and be long-suffering and gentle with others that I ought to be. To walk in fellowship with God is also to walk in fellowship with others. In verse number 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." We have fellowship one with another. And this, of course, stems from fellowship with God. If we're at fellowship with God, we will have fellowship with others. We don't pick and choose. I'm glad God doesn't pick and choose. Huh? I'm glad God doesn't play favorites. I'll have fellowship with you, but not with you. But we do that sometimes. Because we're not truly walking with God. When we're walking with God, we have fellowship with everyone. There's not aught between our brother, we're fine with everyone. And we cannot be right with, and here's a key statement here in verse number 7. And I don't know what else you can get out of this verse if you don't get this. We cannot be right with others if we're not right with God. And you can reverse that and say the same thing is true. We cannot be right with God if we're what? not right with others. Those two go hand in hand. In fact, back in the next chapter, in chapter number 2, in verse number 9, I just put the reference down there for you. It says that he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in what? Anybody know? Darkness, even until now. We say that we're walking in the light, but I don't love my brother like I should. I'm walking in darkness, and I don't know it. That I'm still bound in darkness. You see, God's people can still be in blindness because they're not in fellowship with God. Walking with God means, first of all, walking in light, and then it also means walking in fellowship with others. And let me say this, that we need the fellowship with other Christians to thrive. God instituted this place that we call the church, where God's people fellowship together. Church is an added blessing from God. God gave us this place where God's people meet. Now, some people think they're going through life all alone. God's given you somebody to help, to come alongside of you, a friend in your time of need, and they're found in church. This is a place that God has ordained where God's people strive together in unity, where they encourage one each other, where they pray for each other and lift each other up. I really feel sorry for folks that are trying to do it on their own, trying to walk for Christ without being in church. Now, Satan does not want you in church, and he'll stop at nothing to keep you out and away from church. Hebrews chapter number 10, you're familiar with that passage of Scripture. I need to get my little whistle wet before I start coughing again. God wants us to be in church. And a lot of folks today think, well, church is something that's lost its influence. It's not important. And by the way, the devil will do anything within his power to get you out of church. Whether it's COVID, the scare of COVID, whether it's being disgruntled about somebody. It always amazes me. Folks get run into a bad person at the store, but they still have to go to the store. People have a bad experience at a restaurant, but they still got to go out to eat once in a while. We put up with it everywhere except, and that just tells me that's the devil working. You know, we can put up with a coworker that's hard to live with, but we can't get along with God's people that are hard to live with. Excuse me, I got to get something here again. In Hebrews chapter number 10, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. How do we hang on to the profession of our faith? Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another and to provoke one another to anger and wrath, right? No, to love and to good works. That's a good way to provoke people. Not forsaking the what? The assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe without a doubt that we are living in the very end of time. You say, well, what if you're wrong? Well, I'd rather live my way that way, life that way and be wrong than to not expect his coming when he comes. We ought to be expecting, and the devil is so much the more. He's using pulled every tool in his arsenal out to get God's people out of church because he knows that we cannot walk in tune with God if we're not in tune with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he knows how much we need each other to walk with him. Don't forsake the assembling ourselves. And then to walk with God means, thirdly, to walk in truth. To walk in truth. Hey, man, isn't it good to be awake today? I just thought I'd do that, see who jumps. to walk with God means to walk in truth. God is truth. Did that wake somebody up? We got a giggle out of somebody. To walk with God is to walk in truth. God's truth declares us, first and foremost, in verse number 8, to be sinners. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God's Word shows us. In fact, the one ministry of the Holy Spirit to every person that's ever walked the face of this earth is to convince them of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. The one message the Word of God has for every person, saved or lost, is you're a sinner. You're in need of God's grace. You're in need of God's salvation. You're in need of God's mercy. And God's truth shows us our need as sinners and declares us as sinners. To reject God's truth is to believe a lie. And we know where all lies originate. Where do they originate at? From the devil. In John 8, verse number 43 through 45, Jesus says, "Why do you not understand my speech?" He's talking to the religious leaders of his day that thought that they were above sin, that they've earned their right to heaven. "Even because you cannot hear my word, you're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." To walk with God means to walk in truth. We can't walk with Jesus if we're not walking in truth. One of the greatest promises in all the Bible is found in verse number 9. I say also that this is the most dangerous verse in all the Bible, as well as the greatest verse. It's a great verse if you're living in sin and wanting to get back in fellowship with God. It's a dangerous verse if you're out of fellowship with God and you're talking about stepping back into sin and going back in the way you used to live. God says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us some of our sins." Just the really bad sins. Now, He'd forgive us how many sins? All of our sins. "And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The greatest verse in all the Bible is that God will forgive us of all sins. Righteousness is God's plan. We talked about this in the book of Romans. And I'm amazed at how clearly this became in just doing a study in the book of Romans. Righteousness in the book of Romans is the idea of God declaring lost men righteous. Righteousness is God's plan or scheme of redemption. Some of you remember that definition, right? It means to accept His righteousness is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when we accept Him as our Savior, we become a part of His plan of righteousness. In other words, we're to tell others how beautiful are the feet of them that share the good news, that tell others. We're enlisted in His program to declare righteousness because we are now made righteous in Him. Now, proclaiming our own righteousness is to come up with our own plan or scheme of redemption. The religious folks of Jesus' day were guilty of that, just like a lot of religious folks are guilty of it today. In Romans chapter number 10, God says, "For I bear them record," Paul writes of his own people, the nation of Israel, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone that believeth." The law can't get anybody to heaven. And trying to earn our own stripes or trying to earn our own way of salvation is trying to establish our own righteousness. And in doing that, we're rejecting God's eternal plan of righteousness to call upon Him as our Savior. To reject His salvation is to make, in verse number 10, God a liar. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Our righteousness simply condemns us. In Isaiah chapter number 64, what a great truth in this verse. In verse number 6 through 7, it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses," plural, got an extra ES in the end there, "are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and all our iniquities have, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon the name and stirreth up himself to take hold on thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." We think that our righteousness will get us to heaven. We're rejecting God's only plan of righteousness and trying to earn our way to heaven. our righteousness simply condemns us. We cannot earn our salvation. We must be pardoned from our sin. You understand what pardon is? And pardon in this, when someone's guilty of a crime and they say, well, their sins are pardoned. The president at the end of their term can pardon folks of their crimes, can totally absolve their crimes. They no longer have to be paid for. That happens more than it ought to be quite honest with you. To be pardoned in Scripture always supposes that there is first and foremost a confession. And there is no promise that it will be imparted unless a full acknowledgement has been made. In other words, God says if we confess our sin before Him, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But not until we confess our sin, till we agree with Him and say, yes, God, I am a sinner. Salvation begins with a confession of sin. Our righteousness condemns us. And if we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved through God's pardon, God's forgiveness of our sin. We could never pay the debt that we owe for salvation. We can never earn all the good things that God has given to us, even as a Christian. We can never earn our own merit or favor, blessing with God. It's all because of His grace. Salvation begins with a confession. To confess means to agree with God, is how I usually define it. I think I wrote down in your paper, it stated an agreement with truth. God declares me a sinner. Yes, God, I'm a sinner. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Does anybody know that verse? Proverbs 28, 13. I'm quoting 1 John. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Notice, just as John, the book of Proverbs, puts it on to confess and forsake. Confess and turn away. Yes, God, I've sinned. I'm willing to turn from my sin and turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. I'm confessing and forsaking. Don't ever get tired of confessing and forsaking your sin. That's something that's very important for even us as Christians. In Romans chapter number 10, talks about the importance of confessing. And sometimes people say, well, I believe in God. I was taught, well, as long as you believe God, you're okay. You'll get to heaven as long as you believe God. And I was amazed when James says the devils themselves believe God. In fact, they tremble at God. They can go a step farther than I do. But salvation is not only believing, but confessing your sin, agreeing with God. Romans 10, you probably know the verse, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I just agree with God. Yes, God, I am a sinner. And I call upon Him. For the verse number 13 of Romans 10 says, for whosoever shall, what? Call upon the name of the Lord. I need to confess my sin and call upon Him. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And I give you three things to take away with you today. And I jotted them down to make sure you get them. Maybe next time I'll leave it blank so you got to write them down. Okay? I'll give you more to write down so you have to pay attention a little bit closer. God desires fellowship with me, but my sin separates me from Him. God desires more than anything of man to fellowship with me. He created me for fellowship, but my sin is what separates. God is, in His mercy, has revealed my sin. However, I must confess and forsake my sin if I'm going to have fellowship with God, if I'm going to walk with God. If I'm going to walk in that fellowship that God designed, I need to confess my sin and be willing to turn from that sin. And even as God's people, sometimes, well, we want to hang on to that sin. I know I should forgive them, but I just want to give them revenge first. God, let me give them a little bit of taste of their own medicine, and then I'll forgive them, right? Let me get back at them. No, God says I need to confess and forsake. And then God's righteousness is only by His grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith. Not faith in fate itself or faith in faith itself, but faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the one who was chosen by God, the anointed one who came to die for my sin. My righteousness is only because of His righteousness. He's provided a way for me to be saved. Aren't you glad for that? Isn't it good to be saved and on your way to heaven? Just as good as being saved is to be walking in fellowship with Him. Walking in fellowship with Him means walking in light as He is in the light. Walking in truth. Realizing that, hey, I'm a sinner. I'm no better than anyone else. I'm a sinner in need of salvation. And walking in true fellowship with Him. And in tune with Him in His Word. I'm asking you to